Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. He gave his life. What more could he give? Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me. Jesus to Calvary did go. His love for mankind he did show. What he did there brought hope from despair. Oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you.
Lovely in every way. Thank you, Vicki. Good morning, everybody. Okay, we'll see you later. Yeah. Though it was for a short time. From sea to shining sea, the big picture. Great, I mean great, is the mystery of godliness, Sunday, April 23rd, 2023. Chi, homologimenos, mega eston, tu tes usabias mysterion. See, what did he just say? You heard it. You know it. It means, by common confession, great, magnificent, is the mystery of godliness. Now, if you just said to yourself, and I'm just thinking of things that might be expressed through the atmosphere, through some negative spirit thing that floats around, not that again. Please don't say that. This is so precious to the Lord, such value, and is so highly regarded and esteemed by him that we dare not become in any way familiar with his word. For that breeds, familiarity breeds contempt. Don't say it. Please don't say it. And if you do, hurry up, stop, drop, and roll. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. 1 Timothy 3:16, You can turn there. Stay there. We're not going any further than that. Kai homologimenos mega est and totes usivis musterion. Terry's memorized it better than I have. That's just the first line. The rest of it's very difficult to pronounce. We'll talk about that a little bit later. By common confession, that's homologimenos, great mega is the mysterion, the mystery, a secret formerly hidden but now revealed. And how was it revealed? God took Paul, the Apostle Paul, the least of the apostles, the chief of sinners, into the third heaven, where he communicated it in great detail. And Paul would come back from that experience. He felt like he was in his body when he was there, but he wasn't. He was there, soul and spirit, taken up into the third heaven, into paradise, where he heard unspoken, spoken words. And all this was communicated to him by the Lord, spiritually, spirit, spirit. He heard these things that nobody had ever heard before. He was privy to information formerly hidden in God. And God can keep a secret. He did for the ages and generations past, from men and from angels. He kept a secret. And now it's been revealed. You say, well, I'm not really sure what that is. Well, we're going to talk about it until you are sure of what it is. We're going to teach it until you are sure, you're certain of what it is. With regard to Christ, and with regard to you, who you are in Christ. You say, well, we already know all that. I don't think so. I don't. So I don't think you do either. I spend a lot more time in the Word than you do. Most of you, anyway. Not all of you, but most of you. So anyway, by common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness, godliness, godliness. We have to find out what godliness is. Do you know what godliness is? He says, yes, it's godlikeness. Well, only in certain ways it is. But it's Christlikeness, that's for sure. Because of his godliness, his piety. He learned obedience and piety. He was heard because of his godliness when his strong crying. He was delivered up for our salvation, for our justification upon the cross. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. Godliness is a mystery. A mystery to godliness. It's a mysterious thing, godliness is, that God would be manifest in the flesh. That's a mystery. God was manifest, phanerothe, in the flesh, in a body of flesh. What a strange and wonderful tale that is, that God became a man. I can't get over it. In the person of Christ, God became a man. God created man in his image and likeness, and then God became a man in the person of Christ. And then God, then Christ indwells everyone who believes in him as God and man, as God and Savior. Confesses, everyone who confesses with their mouth that Jesus, the man Jesus, is God, and believes in his heart that God raised him from the dead, that one is saved for time and eternity. Saved, safe, and eternally secure by the finished work sacrifice of God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The blood of his cross. It's a bloody religion. That blood is precious blood. The precious blood of a lamb without spot or blemish. By common confession, great is the mystery of godliness. He who was revealed in the flesh was justified or vindicated in the Spirit. When was that? When God raised him from the dead. His sacrifice was sufficient, was accepted, was good for time and eternity for any and all who would only believe in him as God in the flesh and the only Savior of mankind. Jesus said, believe in God, believe also in me. To believe in God is what's called theotic awareness, God consciousness. To believe in Christ is what is called eternal salvation. You can't just believe in God and be saved. You must believe in Jesus to be saved. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's salvation in no one else. Acts 4:16. You know that, right? Of course you do. Don't forget. And then impute men's sins to them. When God gathered the sins of the world and imputed them to Christ on the cross that day. You can pay for one of your sins, let alone all of them. But Christ could pay for yours and for the sins of the world in a single afternoon by a suffering so deep and dark, so intense and enduring and endless. We can't even begin to fathom what he did there that day. But he did it. And when he was done with it, cried, Tetelestai, it is finished. John 19:30, Psalm 22:31. So he was vindicated in the Spirit when God raised him from the dead. He was studied. Oh, how they studied him. They watched every move that he made and listened so carefully to every word that he spoke. Who? The angels, the elect angels. The fallen ones were terrified by his presence on the earth. They knew who he was. Oh, Son of God, what have you done? Have you come to torment us before our time? Send us into those pigs. They did, ran down the hill, and they died. Oh, they didn't have a host anymore. So they had to look for somebody else. Take seven spirits more wicked than themselves with them and go camp out there for a while. And there's been lots of places for them to camp out. Wreak havoc in human history. Those same ones that died in the pigs that died that day. They went out just a little bit dirtier than they were before and gathered others more wicked than themselves. Say, what's that have to do with anything? It has to do with everything. So this world is not what it seems to be. It's a haunt for every kind of unclean bird and jackal spirit, unclean spirit, that feeds on man's unbelief and perpetuates it throughout history and throughout humanity. It's ugly. We live on the Word, the pure, perfect Word of God, each and every day. So back to our passage before I get too carried away, which I probably already have gotten too carried away. But God does that sometimes through us, and we don't even understand why. But all of a sudden, somebody will come to you and say, oh, that thing you said, what thing was that? The thing you didn't mean to say or think that you said or think you shouldn't say. That was the thing that really got me. Good. That's why we're always open and available to the Spirit. And really, he's in charge. He says sometimes, open your mouth and I'll fill it. Other times, say, stick close to the script. Today's one of those days when you open your mouth and let him fill it. So, seen, studied by angels. They studied everything that he did. He watched so carefully what he did. And it was phenomenal. It was a wonder to behold. A thing of great beauty grace and truth. So graceful, so gracious with everything that he did and who he was. Full of grace and truth. We beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. From his fullness, we've all received grace against grace. Grace instead of grace. Grace anti-grace. So anyway, studied by angels, proclaimed among the nations, Caruso preached. Caruso is preaching. Didascalia is teaching. Here he was, Caruso, proclaimed among the nations. Just like he proclaimed his finished work victory in the regions of Hades. In between the time he died and was raised on Sunday morning, those 2.5 days, 3 days, according to Jewish timing in a day, that he went into the lower regions of the earth and proclaimed, Caruso, his finished work victory, to the spirits in prison, the fallen angels. And then, of course, picked up before he ascended that one that he promised that day he would be there with him in paradise. He didn't forget. He's never forgotten you, and he didn't forget that man that day. How wonderful that is, and reassuring for all of us. So, proclaimed among the nations. What's that? The message, the good news, the best news anyone could ever hear and believe. All of your sins, past, present, yes, even future, were taken that day, gathered that day off the line of eternity, and charged and blamed on Christ, the only one who could pay for them. The only one that was sinless. Until he became sin or was made sin for us. That's what it required. That was the plan of God. That's the radical remedy of redemption. Radical remedy. God put on a body of flesh because he's the only one that could play and laid aside the prerogatives of his deity. He was the only one that could pay for the sins of the world if and only if he remained perfect. If he never thought, had a thought of sin, never spoke a word of sin, or never did anything that was sinful in practice or action. He's the only one that could do it. And he did it. And he brought salvation out of the grave and put death to death and was the plague of death. Himself was the plague of death, so that we might have eternal life, that we might have abundant life. I came that they might have life, and that they might have it in all abundance. How wonderful is that? You say, does that mean that you're supposed to be prosperous in every way? Yep, every way. And have the right attitude about everything. Because the word of God is in your target for blessing. Every possible blessing. Here you go. Proverbs 22:4. The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. You say, you sound like you're preaching the prosperity gospel. Oh, that's prosperity. Oh, that's true. Riches in Christ. That's what the mystery's about. The true riches that are in Christ that belong to you. And what comes with it, you wouldn't even believe. Some of you already know, because some of you have it. You're well on your way to that glorious inheritance that awaits you. And others are just on the precipice and ready to step into it. It's a wonderful thing. and you don't want to miss any of it. I said on Tuesday night, I said, if you knew how wonderful it really was, you'd probably want to die. So God doesn't really reveal it to us in its fullness, but we get a glimpse of it. And once we get a glimpse of it, then you can't stop us, because our desire, our great yearning and desire, is to know Him. To know Him. The one that's done it all. Who's all in all. So, where we get to, oh, proclaimed among the nations and believed on in the world, just like Jesus. We've got 12 guys, and by the time that he was ready to return to the Father, he had 120 or so gathered together in Jerusalem for the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit in all of his fullness. He was the only one until then that had it. He's going to give it to you, give it to me, so that we might fully understand the mystery. It's the Holy Spirit who teaches the mystery. Nobody else can. You say, well, Paul was given the mystery. Yeah, well, try to understand Paul's teaching. Peter said, Paul teaches many things. They're wonderful things. They're scripture, but they're hard to understand. They're really hard to understand. I say impossible to understand. Apart from the divine teacher, who was the Holy Spirit. Best teacher ever laid his notes on a pulpit. Oh, he didn't use notes. He never used notes. He is the Word. He's inspiration. Theopneustos. All scripture that God breathed. That's the Holy Spirit. Inspired. Inspiration. God breathed out his Word. So, believed on in the world. Yes, people believed. People believe in Christ every day. People have believed in Christ because of you. You say, how do you know that? Because it's inevitable that that would happen. It's powerful. You don't even know it. God won't reveal it to you, because if he did, you'd think you were something. When all of us are nothing. If anyone thinks he's something, when all of us are nothing, he deceives himself. And that's just a fact. So guess what? He's something and you're nothing. He's everything and we're nothing. Except what he made us to be, which is really something. See, that doesn't make sense to me. Well, think about it. It don't make sense. Anyway, so that's believed on in the world and then received up. In glory. There's another rapture verse. Received up in glory. It's talking about Christ, isn't it? Yeah, but what's true of Christ is true of you in these passages. That's the mystery. As he is, so are we in this world. You don't understand. You're fully identified with Christ. You are the body of Christ. And body parts of his upon the earth. Endued with the fullness. With power. That is all the fullness of God. In Ephesians 3:19, we learn the dimensions of Christ's love. You'll know you're filled with all the fullness of God. God loves you fully because of Christ. He loves you with the same fullness, with the same intensity of love that he has for Christ. He considers you Christ, part of Christ. Christ mystical. Christ mysterious. That's you. Me and you. Christ mysterious. Christ, the mystery of God, is Christ. And you are Christ mysterious. Part, parcel of Christ. My beloved is mine, and I am his. In an association, in a union, far more intimate than marriage, where two people remain two people. You say, well, don't they become one? I've never seen it yet. Still two. Yes, they're united in one, and the ideal and functional, yes, indeed it's so. But you are truly part and parcel of the body of Christ. Much more intimate and permanent union. So you can't be divorced. He can't divorce. He hates it. It's ugly. It's ugly. Even in the human realm. But he hates it. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews 13:5. So, all the fullness of God. You're filled with all the fullness of God. He said, it doesn't seem like it, doesn't feel like it. Well, what's seeing or feeling have to do with it? We walk by faith and not by sight, and certainly not by feelings. If you work by feelings, you're dead in the water. Ephesians 4:13, the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 3:19, the fullness of God, all the fullness of God. Ephesians 4:13, all the fullness of Christ. In Romans 15:29, all the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Every blessing that is associated with him as the Father, as the darling of heaven. So are you. Even as he is, so are you in this world, 1 John 4:17. The fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, with the fullness of the Spirit, every one of us, the fullness of scriptural revelation at your fingertips. What are you doing with it? Very little, I'm afraid, in too many cases. Not that you have to be legalistic. It's not legalistic. Oh, come on. Do your soul a great service. Do your soul a great favor. Fill it up. Starting today, like never before in your life. This time's elapsing very quickly. Not much time left. For some of us, we'd be shocked if we knew how long we're still going to be here. If we're past 7:00, you're on borrowed time. 70, 80 by reason of strength. You said, well, it seems to me like people live a lot longer today than they used to. It's not true. It's not so. See, back in those days, they didn't have automobiles where people were killed in automobiles. There's lots of those. Or by other things, drug overdoses, for example. The hundreds of thousands of people that died by drug overdose every year, that didn't happen back then. So those are young people, so there's more young people that die. So the average is still 70, as it always was. You say, well, I disagree. That's 76. That's in the United States, it's 76. God shed his grace on thee. That's why. And people need to live a little longer so God might get through to them. Have equal privilege and opportunity to believe in Christ and to learn something before they leave the sod of this earth. So anyway, the fullness of God, the fullness of Christ, the fullness of the Spirit, the fullness of scriptural revelation, it's ours. A complete provision, 24-hour grace packets. That is the fullness of grace that is ours in John 1:16. From his fullness we've all received grace against grace. With equal measures of mercy in Hebrews 4:16 that enable us to live and prevail against the world, the flesh, and the devil, 1 John 2:16, in this time of evil, in this evil day that we live in. I call it end stage evil because it really ratchets up at the end. End stage evil. What comes next in our passage is all true, not only of Christ, but of me and of you. Studied or viewed. Well, let's start with this one. Manifest in the flesh. Christ is manifest in you. He's in your flesh. He's in your body. Don't you know that your body is the temple of Christ, of the Holy Spirit? Christ dwells in you. Don't you know that? If anyone destroys this temple, he'll be destroyed. That is in time. If anyone's work abides, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he'll suffer loss. He'll be saved, but like one escaping through the flame. There'll be a variety of glorious manifestations for all eternity of the person and image of Christ in eternity. In the meantime, he's manifest in the flesh. You say, I don't see it. You're not supposed to. Others do. When I look at Judy and I look at Dan or Teresa or Greg or Ty and Lynette, I can't even believe how much I see Christ in each and every one of you. And I seriously doubt if you see him in me. But you might tell me that you do. You might tell me, well, you did for the first time today. That would be just fine with me. I forgot Brad. And Vicky, and the rest of you, all of you. I said, you don't ever do that. Don't ever start naming people in the congregation, because the other one said, he didn't mention me. Maybe I don't have Christ in me. Yes, you do. Every one of you. Even, never mind. Manifest in the flesh. It's true of you. Or, then it says, vindicated. That's vindicated is, what happened to vindicated? What did I do with vindicated? I can't remember it. Terry could tell you, but I can't. He could tell you unless he was standing up here, then he couldn't tell you because he couldn't remember, because there's a different pressure when you stand up here. It is e dikaiothe, like dikaiao, which is justified or righteous. Justification is dikaiosune. It's a form of that. E dikaiothe, justified or vindicated in the spirit. You know what that means? It means that you were raised when Jesus was from the dead, just like he was vindicated in Romans 1, 3, and 4. Declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection, by the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ, our Lord, vindicated in the Spirit. God sees you as a new creation, completely new. It's the mystery. How could it be? I don't know, but it's true. It's so. Even as Christ rose from the dead, and they couldn't hardly recognize him. We don't hardly recognize you. We see Christ in you. How can it be that that would be so? But it is. It's a mystery. It's a wonderful mystery. You are mysterious, even as he is and was. Continues to be mysterious. You'll love that mystery for all eternity. So then, studied. Hophe, H-O-P-H-T-H-E. From, Terry, what's the Greek root? What is it? Harao, that's it. I couldn't think of it. Thank you. I'm glad I have resources right here in the congregation, like Terry. Means seen, viewed, in this case, studied. Studied by angels. You are, even as he was. And then preached or proclaimed. That doesn't mean that he preaches you or you preach them, but you preach Christ. You're part of the preaching contingent. You go about preaching Christ either by word or by deed. You can't help but be a manifestation, a sweet-smelling savor of Christ, an omen of him to those who are saved and to those who are lost, which we'll get to if we ever get there. That's what you do. You're preaching Christ. Just by being alive and having Christ, you preach Christ. And then believed on or relied upon in the world. Like I said, there's people who believed in Christ because of you. You don't know. I didn't say entirely because of you. Maybe in spite of you, they did. In some instances. You think that's possible? I do. I don't want to be like him. I'm going to believe in Christ. I want to be that kind of hypocrite. We've been accused of being, if you're accused of being a hypocrite, that's fantastic. Thank God for that. You know why? Because it just means that it's real. Because sometimes you're a lot like Christ and other times you're not. And people say you're a hypocrite, they're just saying to themselves, well, there's another excuse why I never want to become a Christian, because they're not perfect. And I guess I am, or they are, they claim to be. Huh. So rejoice as they call you a hypocrite. See, I don't fully understand that. Would you explain it further? No, just go think about it. You'll get it. I can't do all your thinking and studying for you. Not that you require me to, but some people would prefer I do that. Then they don't have to be responsible. You are responsible for your own understanding. You present yourself to the Lord every day as a living sacrifice for the renewing of your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians 4:23. And Romans 12:1-2. So that's believed on in the world and then raptured, taken up, received up in glory. Even elmphe. Say that one five times. It's from Lambano, Anna Lambano. It means to be received up in glory like Christ was. You're following in his footsteps. In 1 Peter 2:21, you're following in his footsteps. He left your footsteps, so you follow in his footsteps. So, this passage, 1 Timothy 3:16, is classified as a hymn. This one is the most profound of all scripture passages in all of the Word of God, the most mysterious anyway, and therefore should at least be memorized. And is moreover worthy of a lifetime of contemplation or meditation in order to derive the blessedness that it contains from knowing Christ as God and oneself in Christ, both richly contained therein. In this passage and many other passages, the 27 passages, where the word mysterion, or derivative of mysterion, is used. It's a hymn of the soul. It starts like this. Kai homologomenos. That's the hymn. Means most assuredly, admittedly, confessedly. It means all who know anything at all about it concur, completely agree, and confess that it is so remarkable. You know, confess is the same word we use in 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins, receive purification from their guilt and their shame, and even the ramifications or consequences, negative consequences of wrongdoing. We confess our sin here, our confession, same word, homologemenos, from homologeo, brings our full identification with Christ, our Savior, who is God in the flesh. Homologemenos is an adverb which, translated directly in the context, means admittedly or confessedly or fitly spoken. It's fitting that we should say these things and think these things, like Proverbs 25:11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is the word fitly spoken. It's a beautiful thing. Confessedly spoken of in the same way. All who know it say the same thing. Homologemenos. This is what they say. You say, who are they? Those who know the mystery of Christ. That's who. They say, they all say, if they know anything at all about it, they all say, it's great! It's great! Not, it's a great mystery that no one can understand, but that it is great. I'll give you some synonyms. that it is magnificent, that it is superb, it's outstanding, wonderful, terrific, splendid, fabulous, fantastic, marvelous, magnifique. We had to go to another language. One of the greatest, if not the greatest of all, the many passages regarding the mystery. Then he says, mega, magnificent, that's the word. Wonder of wonders, as is Eston, which is present, active, indicative. It is now and always will be. Not only for time, but for all eternity. Mega Eston, great in meaning, in value, in degree, in significance, and in importance. Not in the sense of being very mysterious, so mysterious that few can grasp or understand it, though it must be sought with great interest and acquired at great cost. See, what's the cost? The cost being life as you know it presently. Your life won't be the same. But I like my life the way it is. Really? Then you don't know what lies ahead. It's not what we're after, to have a peaceful life. And by the way, just so you know, God does not care about your comfort. He cares about your conformity into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ, and the renovation of your thinking. That's what he cares about, and that's what his plan is designed to accomplish in you and in me. He doesn't care about your comfort. He said, well, you told us that he wanted to make you rich. Rich in faith, an heir of the kingdom that the world considers pitiable. The world will consider you pitiable. But God considers you rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he promised to those who love him. Love him. Don't you just love him? We love him because he loved us first. We love because he loved us first. So, what the heck were we doing here? Oh, mega Eston, I got that part. Best rendered, I think, best rendered. Magnificent. Not mysterious, so mysterious that few can grasp or understand it. Though it must be sought with great interest and acquired at great cost. Mega Eston, best rendered, magnificent. Then it says, the, toe, taste of the, then it says, eusebios. Eusebios is very important. It's the word godliness. Eusebios. Eu, it's a compound word, compound noun. Eu means well or good. In the New Testament, grace is the goodness and the fullness of Christ. John 1:14-16, and a variety of other passages. And we're to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace is the goodness of God, the goodness of Christ, the fullness of Christ. And in our part, where man is concerned, it is welcome receptivity and corresponding gratitude. That's all grace is, grace orientation. Welcome receptivity for the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and reveal the inheritance that's yours among all those who are sanctified, and gratitude. Grow in the grace, gratitude, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then we have sebes, we have you, which means well or good, and sebes is worship, which is receiving and retaining the word. The word of his grace. We've been committed to the word of his grace. Paul says, I commit you to God, to the word of his grace. That's what you're committed to. To a particular type of teaching. Grace teaching. Nothing else. Because that's what it's all about. Because the law came by angels, agency of angels through Moses. But grace and truth was brought in person by God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. It's far and away superior to anything that came before. That's what you have and I have. So it's really not something good for somebody to be legalistic. I'm talking about to be balanced with grace and truth, of course. There's no licentiousness in that, but not to be legalistic, which is to be right without grace, to be good without grace. That's what Satan did. I will make myself like the Most High. To be good without grace, satanic. But to be full of grace and truth, that's divine. So that's save aces worship, which is receiving and retaining the word of his grace, and to stay under grace. You're not under law, you're under grace, Romans 6:14, radically grace-oriented. So far we have Eusebius as being radically grace-oriented. Therefore, my definition, term godliness, is devotion to the true worship and glorification of God by grace. By grace. With growing gratitude, and resulting in truly knowing Christ. I have to put my rubber finger on because I need to turn a page. Stuck together. See, you're one crazy preacher. Thank you for noticing. Next we have the word mystery. 27 times it's found in the New Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. It's not found in each one of them, but it's found 27 times in 27 books of the New Testament. It's a New Testament term. Technical spiritual term. Mysterion. Something formerly unknown, made known, or revealed at some point. A secret revealed. It's not automatic to understand it, but made available to all who first catch a glimpse and then want to or wish to know. God doesn't force anybody to do anything. He's a perfect gentleman. For the rest, certainly available to be known. Then he says, that was mystery, that's the mystery, mysterion. Then he says, he who was revealed or manifest, we got that already. These are all of these verbs that I discussed briefly before. And this one is ephanerothe, which is means to be revealed or to be unveiled or to be manifest, is an aorist passive indicative. We say, oh, not that again. I said, don't ever say that. Don't let that thought enter your mind. Don't let it. Please don't. It's God's word. He thinks the world of it. And you don't like it because it's academic. And you're not. Who is? We're not. None of us are. We're like the Three Stooges. Academic and our acumen compared to the Lord. Like the Beverly Hillbillies. So anyway. Aorist. Simple past tense. Remember that. We'll say, oh, when I hear aorist, I shut down. No, it's a simple past tense. You know, today I jump, and yesterday I jumped. Oh, I jumped backwards because it's yesterday. I jumped. Simple past tense. Passive. An action performed by another affecting the subject. He spit on me. That dude called me a hypocrite. Past tense. Past. Indicative. That's an action viewed and stated as an absolute fact. So there you have it. All of these things, they are past tense. Something done to you and for you by Christ. And an absolute fact. Scripture, all of them. The action took place when God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, sustainer of the material universe, the Redeemer of mankind, put on humanity to save all men from a fate far worse than death. If you just died, that would be nothing. But it's way worse than death. That's why we're beseeched to believe in Christ. And that's why we persuade men, because of the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. I'm always available to anyone to tell them the good news. I don't force my way in, but God opens a door, I got to do it. And so do you. You know what I'm talking about. It's not something that you do. Come on. It's not something that you have to be condemned for because you didn't do it. When there was no opportunity to do so, God has to open a door. You know that. He said, but there's people that tell everybody, everywhere they go. Yeah, well, the people run from them. A couple get saved, but people run from them. They don't want to be buttonholed. Don't do that, please. You're not supposed to do that. Nobody did it. What if they had done that to you? You probably still wouldn't be saved. They didn't, though. God came to you in such a gentle and respectful way. Did not trample on your free will or volition to do so, but appealed to you. He said, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, shall make them as white as wool. Though they be crimson, I'll make them as the snow, the driven snow. That's how you came. The goodness and kindness of the Lord that brought you to repentance. No threat or pressure. Can't pressure anybody into anything. I'm not leaving you until you believe. He doesn't say that. He doesn't do that. Unless you need that, then he might. I'm not ruling out anything. You can't put God in a box, that's for sure. Don't try. He'll break right out of it. His ways are inscrutable. So, here we have, next he says, in the flesh, that is, a human body, weak and limited, subject to sickness, suffering, and death, just like ours. It's not like the song, I think it was Jewel who sang the song, what if God was one of us, just a slob like one of us. He's no slaw, that's for sure. But we are. Just a stranger on the bus. In one sense, it's very true. But there were no buses in his day. Only burros, donkeys. So no one can ever say, like on the TV commercial, God gets us. God doesn't get us. No one can ever say God doesn't get us. Which he certainly does in every way by becoming one of us. But will also get us, come and get us, and quite possibly very soon. So, he was made visible in a body of flesh, and so are you. That is, Christ lives in you. This life you live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God. Galatians 2:20. And for us, living, whether we fully realize it or believe it or not, is Christ. In Philippians 1:21, thus the mystery, Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of your glorification, Colossians 1:26 and 27. What time do we have? I suspect it's late, and it is. I have so much more of my 11 pages, and I thought to myself today, I'll never have enough to fill the hour. I just won't. There's just not enough. God said, oh, yes, there is. And he showed me once again that there is, and that you can do this like this. Oh, thank you, Lord. I really appreciate it. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this group of believers who wants to know, truly desires to know you, and to know the mystery of godliness. Draw many to hear it, Lord, on sermon audio and elsewise, and just to view it, even as the angels do, in a wonderful way, as they see Christ manifest in the world, manifest in the flesh, vindicated in the spirit, as they study us, as they hear the proclamation of Tetelestai in the world, and people believe, and then the church, as we are taken up suddenly in glory, the blessed hope of the church, those who go to heaven without dying, along with those who died, those who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this wonderful thing. Behold, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Father, thank you for these things. Bless us with them for the remainder of the week until we come back again to hear the word of God as this expression of your beautiful body, the body of Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
We could all stand.